I wish I had thought about it. I would have brought one today. Carlos.
When is Carlos coming? Has he already come, Carlos?
Monday, we're supposed to interview
him. To see him.
Ask him to bring one.
We'll
sure he'd be glad to.
One thing, did Eddie get with you that we left one of our booms at the...
Yeah, he told me.
Could you find it? Or
you know, I'd be glad to if...
It's
if
like
it looks
this.
Like this
exactly
one.
Like this?
Yeah.
Okay. It looks like this, not
with
like
the,
that one. Like
yeah.
this one. It's got a black...
It's the lightweight kind with the black handles.
And it has
stuff.
A black... It has a black tip on the end because
yeah.
We have one that has a... metal tip, but it's
mm-hmm.
not.
No.
It's just like that. All right.
Just like that one.
I'll try to find it.
Yeah.
I looked. He did tell me that, and I looked for it, and I didn't find it. I mean, I scanned the stage. I had a dozen things going on.
Back by the disc jockey. Because we stored what we didn't use.
Maybe
back
laying on the floor. I did see some stuff laying on the floor.
He's a crazy kid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very nice, though.
Yeah very
he
nice.
Went and got 4 or 5 glasses of water for me. You know, he just nice.
Yes, he's all right. Maybe he's all right.
It's
and
crazy.
Probably what we could do if you did find it. I guess you wouldn't be seeing Carlos.
I don't know if he's
going to
come in before Monday.
No, he might drop there by tomorrow.
Or I could leave it with Carlos. Give it either one of them, Carlos or Carlos B.
We're going to be leaving Monday after we interview him to go up north again. So
okay.
maybe
I'll try to get it to him somehow.
Okay, I've got your phone number too. I just thought I'd throw that out while I remembered it.
Okay.
I'm get that back.
Okay.
Do you have?
Yeah. Well, one thing I wanted to know, when I was up in Washington recently, Washington, D.C., and there's quite a big community of Cuban people there, too. They had a group there called Cubata. Have you heard of them?
Cubata?
Cubata.
I heard of a group in Cubason.
Typical Pata.
No.
They played a style of music, rumba music, típica rumba music from Cuba. They had come over with a recent wave of immigration and they met in Fort Chaffee. And they all found out they were musicians and they got together and started playing.
Are you sure the name is not Cuba song?
No, I'm positive it's a Cubata. Cubata. But Cuba San is another group?
Yeah, they play in New York and
they're
good.
They're good.
Yes, I came with a recently immigration.
What is the difference between the rumba and what you play?
Oh, rumba. You see, there's so many different things, like rumba was in the late 30s, and that's so old, you know?
This is something I thought of earlier, you know, this is, and when I was just talking about the commercial, we're coming out of that bag. Oliva probably will be able to answer those questions because he's about 40, and he lived in Cuba until he was like in his mid 20s or
right.
something.
Yeah.
So he could probably answer those questions. But you know,
what I remember a lot was like mambo, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's Pérez Prado, this guy who lives in Mexico, and a lot of big bands like Ernesto Duarte, which he had a big orchestra, Cuban boys, you know. Like, it was something like That's Your Ness. You know, see, I Love Lucy,
yeah.
the
oh,
band
yes.
he has.
Uh-huh.
They used to have a lot of those in Cuba, big band orchestra.
Yeah.
With a main singer in front, many of the songs instrumental.
Yeah.
Many of them instrumental, many the singers. My main character, like
Benny Moré
used to be the Cuba's best singer that had ever lived there. At least for me, he was the best.
And wrote a lot of songs, real famous songs too.
The guy was, it was something else, you know.
Is he dead?
He's dead.
Yeah.
Died like in the early 60s or so.
Yeah.
But the guy was incredible. Incredible. Sometimes we get wasted and go to a dance and still we'll give a performance that will be incredible. The performance that he will put, that he will pack the places. I mean, his recordings. See, there is a saying, like when Pérez Prado, I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
Benny Moré started like in Mexico with him. I don't know if this is good to say, but it's the people say that it is true. RCA wanted to record an album with Pérez Prado. But I would say, all right, I'll do the recording. But I will take like Benny Morel with me. I would take the singer. He goes, oh no, if it doesn't go, we will record. Because the guy was, I mean, fantastic. He was good.
He influenced a lot of people.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, there's a record that Tito Puente did produce. Was it last year?
It was one like 2 years ago that won a Grammy Award for it.
Homenaje de Benny Morel. Homage to Benny Morel.
Mm-hmm. You can check that
songs.
Out. I mean, the record itself won a Grammy Award.
All the main singers from the Tanya All-Stars are the lead singers on it. The arrangements are great. It's a great record. It's in the big band style. It's that same kind of thing that Pérez Prado.
All his songs that he used to sing before. For years in the Grammy, they have like a Latin section to it.
Yeah.
And the recording scene. Tito Puente is real famous in New York. I mean, in the American scene, he's pretty famous too. And the guy was, he did an album that he spoke.
I wanted to ask you some questions, Raul, about just some general questions about how you got over here. You said you came in 1970.
1970.
How did this happen? What happened?
Well, like in the early 60s when Castro took over, if he put it like a kind of a plan that if you wanted to get out of Cuba, you would present your papers to immigration and just they would take them into consideration and they would give you a flag and just come out of Cuba to the exile because you didn't like what was going on in there. You didn't go along with what he had in mind. My parents said that like in the 60s, and we didn't get out of Cuba until 70. We waited like 10 years for it to be able to get out of there.
Just this is the worst hotel every 10 minutes. Your parents had put in for the whole family to get out, and it took about 10 years to get out. What did your parents do? What did your father do for a living?
My father? We had never talked about that. What did my father do? No, he was a jewelry. He used to sell jewelry to them.
Uh-huh.
At a store. And my mother just was used to house clothing, you know,
yeah.
And sell it to the people.
What made you decide to settle in Miami?
Well, we went up north when we came. My father didn't like the weather up there. He didn't like the snow, so... Like he says, no way, I ain't gonna put with this. And he came back to Miami because of the sun.
When did you come to Miami?
The same year, like in October. Sunday.
Just before it snowed.
I mean, we went to New Jersey and every day was like this. I said, looking out the window.
Uh-huh.
And my father was looking out the window every day. He says, oh God, I can't take this for more. I ain't gonna wait for the snow, I'm getting out of here. So we just came down to Miami.
Well, when you settled here, were there certain things that you really missed? I mean, you were about 12 years old, and were there things that you really missed about Cuba when you came over?
What I missed was missing your country, you know. My friends were there, I didn't have any friends in here. My main problem was the barrier between the languages, which when I came here, you know, they would talk to me in English. I said, God, what are they saying? I don't understand anything. So if I spoke to the friend of mine, they would talk to me in English, and half of them, they didn't know what to say in Spanish, and they would say, like, half a phrase in Spanish and half a phrase in English. I would say, hold it. They had to say everything in Spanish, you know. Well, I miss my friends. I miss them. Country and the communication. I didn't have not too much communication over here because of the language area.
Do you think that's pretty much gone now?
Oh yeah, I think so.
However, I'll say this: Raul's English has gotten a lot better since I've been associated with the band now for 3 years. And in that, when I first joined the band,
remember.
He could speak English. There wasn't anything wrong with his English, but his accent was considerably thicker than it is now, and there were a lot of words that were really funky that he didn't know.
Yeah.
And wouldn't talk in public. I mean, when we play a dance, you know, he would have me I remember we're doing a thing at the university, and he absolutely would not say a word because there were some American people who didn't want to hear him speaking English. And there's nothing wrong with it. It wasn't wrong, anything wrong now, but now there's no problem at all. So he's been a considerable change.
It's the accent, you know. It's hard to get rid of it. I mean, it's, you
we do very well.
As I said, but whatever, even if you're Latin and Polish, whatever, your background always gonna stick there.
Is that something to be ashamed of?
Oh no.
Then I know other people said the same thing about the accent. It's like a Southern person has an accent, but so what?
I love the Southern accent. If I make a point, I love the Southern accent of the American people. I really like that. But answering your question, there's. See, when you're small and you're young, you know, in the 18s and you're a teenager, something by the court, you don't want to make a fool out of yourself. So there's some girls like they only talk to you in English, and if you don't speak any English at all, it's, and then you don't. Oh, my accent is. Nowadays, if you don't like it, give me somebody else who understand me. But at that point of view, I was young, you know, I had like 18, 17, 19 years old, and I was afraid that people may laugh at me.
Well, I know here in Miami is probably a very kind of a mecca for the Cuban people to settle, and that, I mean, there's just a lot of people here who have settled, and so it tends to bring other people here to settle, and therefore the Latin community grows and grows. And there are certain traditions that are kept alive here that are nowhere else in the United States. For instance, I was hoping you would tell me, what is, in your opinion, the biggest celebration for a Cuban family during the year? What's the biggest to do?
The biggest one for a Cuban family would be when the girl turns out 15 years old. That's the biggest one.
The quince.
The quince.
And
which is like introducing your daughter into society, like I said before.
And yeah. And in Miami, this has been kept alive, and and you would do certain things. When is there something similar for a boy?
No.
No?
No. Well, they used to tell me, you know, when I came here, that when a guy turned 15 or old, they would dress him in pink and introduce it into society. I said, oh, God. What is that? I mean, that? I ain't gonna dress no pink pants or whatever.
Well, what about, though, tell me about New Year's Eve.
Oh, that's a big event. But see, Miami's. Let me explain something. Miami is like the biggest exile people here are Cubans. There's a lot of Colombian people and a lot of Dominican people. And the whole, like you're talking to a Cuban and American, they might have their own culture things and their own biggest day in their family, which I don't know about that. I don't know which one is. But talking of the Cuban families here, the New Year's Eve, oh, that is, it's big. They make big dances, and if they can't go to the dances, they get together in the house, and we drive crazy the police here, like New Year's Eve, because we make them come to our house at least 5-6 times, and before it was different, you know, before the police would just call off the party, you know, the dance, whatever, they get together. Now, they just stick around and invite them to eat. Because they know that it's something that, even if they come 15 times, they're going to keep on doing it. Because nothing wrong with it. We're just celebrating something. But like the culture used to be here, you can't make no noise until after 10 o'clock. I mean, at 10 o'clock is when everybody arrives for the dance. It's not a time to get there. I mean,
well,
it's something big. We get together for almost everything.
A big party.
For a happy birthday.
Well, hey, Christmas Eve is a...
Yeah, Christmas Eve is a...
Is
a
big
deal.
Do you eat and drink and just generally?
Like a lot of in Christmas Eve, you know, a lot of Cuban culture has been missed, has been dying. Okay, because let me tell you something. Like Christmas Eve, you give the presents and you open them until the 25th, right? Okay, the Cubans here are doing that a lot. In Cuba, when you give the presents will be in the January the 7th. Okay. So you will hold, now the kids will get two presents. They will get the one in the American way, which is the 24th to 25th, and they still will get the January 7th, he said, Cuban tradition. So that's better for them. And some people just, okay, they only do it once.
Uh-huh.
But they always get it. They always do it now, more the American style, 24th, Christmas Eve.
On New Year's Eve, what happens at midnight?
Or we'll they stop the music, whatever we're playing, or they play the Cuban anthem and the American anthem, and we just everybody goes wild. It's like an American way, exactly. We just always say a lot of things.
What about grapes?
We eat them.
Tell me about that. That
I don't know how many. I think it's like seven or something.
As a matter of fact, that's a fact. What was it? Not this last year we played. We're always at a public thing because we're playing for somebody. And this last time they did something, but I remember before it was last year when the thing we did at the Marriott.
Yeah.
That party where we played like two sets. So Ray just paid us all this money and we played just two sets, and that was the deal. I remember and I. Lydia was handing me grapes, and you were talking
oh,
about
yeah,
grapes.
They
and I said, what the heck is this?
It's,
never heard of.
I don't remember what the grapes means. Like good fortune for the following year, or something like that. But we eat grapes,
uh-huh.
And I never eat them. I don't like them. Well, they give it to you. They give you a little basket with seven grapes, I think, or something. And you're supposed to eat them, and you're supposed to kiss your girlfriend or your wife, and then. What we always do is we give thanks a lot to this country for being here. It's amazing. Every dance we have played to, or any private congregation, they always do that.
Uh-huh.
And it's, even if it's at a house or at a public dance, okay, there's such a respect for this country that we have that we do not play the Cuban anthem if we don't play the American anthem. We play them both together. It's a respect that
right.
I'm really grateful to this country for what they have done to us, for us.
I've found that wherever we've talked to people, they've been very, very sure to say that you know they're very grateful for a new life and a new chance. And at the same time, I think it's very good that most people we talk to also realize there is something within their culture that they want to preserve here. They don't want it just to be obliterated and become spanking new American. There's something very nice about keeping alive some Latin traditions, and that the grapes is one that I knew about, which is, it's 12 grapes. By
12
the way.
Grapes?
One for each month.
Oh, okay.
And
I don't know how many were. I know there's a bunch of grapes.
Yeah, a bunch of grapes.
That's because you don't like them.
I mean,
a bunch.
I eat one or something. I mean, people,
yeah.
12 grapes.
And traditionally, as the clock strikes 12, you eat one as it strikes.
I've never seen that.
Well, that's, you know, I'm a folklorist. What can I tell you? I know about these things. I just, but I was just interested to know. It still goes on here, which
yeah,
is really neat. What about dominoes? Now, this is something, tell me about dominoes. Is this very popular in Cuba?
And Cuba was like a pastime, you know, and uh-huh. they still. What the city of Miami has done is they built like a little park in
mm-hmm.
South West 8th Street for the old people to play domino there, to get together in the afternoons and play dominoes. That's what's like card games for the American people, like
uh-huh.
release of poker or something, just
yeah.
to pass time on
uh-huh.
Sundays or nighttime. A couple families get together and just play.
Does anyone in your family play?
No, nobody. My grandfather was great at it. I mean, he was good, but he died, so he can't play no more.
Can I ask
yeah.
what other, there's another game, well, it's really a kind of gambling, I guess, that I've heard of, which is called Bolita.
Oh, that's illegal.
Is it?
Yeah, that's like a betting.
Yeah.
A betting system. But that is, you bet on many things, you know, the horses, whatever, and this. The Puerto Rican lottery and the New York lottery. That's illegal, that's not.
But it's a system that you could apply to all different kinds of, you know, like playing the horses or just
yeah.
playing numbers. And
you play numbers and terminals, whatever. And that is
yeah.
I mean, a lot of people go to jail for here because of that.
Mm-hmm. Believe it. It used to be more widespread probably than...
Yeah.
Was that in Cuba too? Did they do Bolita over there?
I think so.
Yeah. You probably can't remember because you're
fairly young when you came over.
You mentioned that they have these parties where people from one province will get together and they... It's kind of like a big family reunion?
Yeah. What they do is that, like in Cuba, what Keith was saying, you know, this is what he has seen and we have taught him. It's all people get together and they form like a... what they call municipio, which is like a municipality.
Yeah, it's like whatever. It's like a, what you say, like a,
like let's say
civic group,
right?
Mm-hmm.
7 or 8 people, 15 persons know each other from Cuba, and when they come here, they say, "Well, we used to live in this hometown. Let's try to get together all the people that live in Miami that used to live in this hometown." That's what they do here. They have a bunch of us, and that.
That's nice. That's...
Is it like a club?
It's a private organization.
Some are more organized than others. Some have regular meetings. Most don't. Most of them is just an annual... They have an annual get-together, and it's quite a reunion. The people, you know...
Yeah, they got... How are you doing? They got the presidents and their chairman of the board, the treasurer, and they collect their money, and they give parties, and they contribute a lot to the... like, any type of... foundation, whatever, they give money to it. It's something they, some like it, some are well organized and some are just get together
yeah.
at the time.
So when, like if a particular municipio got together, say from Eastern Cuba, the kind of music or the kind of things that would go on, they would be things of that area? Would they try
sometimes,
to emphasize
yeah,
that?
But like you can be too picky about the type of music you play at the time. You have to follow what is playing now in the in town. People get too picky about it. What they do is they just buy records, that type of music, and they just don't have a band at all.
Does your family or the people from your province, do they get together once a year? Caraway?
They get more together with family wise.
I see.
It's a very big family, you know. Right? Not in any type of my parents are, they know a lot of people from their hometown. What they do is they come to our house once in a while, and
mm-hmm.
we go to their house, and well, I never go there.
Yeah.
And with my family, they get together a lot.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Well, that's neat.
They have a lot of parties here for any occasion. They have a party. I mean, if a graduation for a girl from school, from college or university or whatever, sometimes it's through a party and they give her a car or they give her a trip, whatever they can afford to.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds
nice.
That's nice.
One other thing, you know, we were talking about different kinds of music that might be passed on when, you know, for your children, but more generally, what kinds of things do you want to tell your children about Cuba, assuming that Cuba is the same as it is now? They may never get to see Cuba, and you may never get back again.
I don't want to tell my children. I don't want to tell them, you know, something that they, that is not true. I want to tell them what it's been in Cuba for this past year, if it is so far as it is right now, you know, or this Castro has done for the island, and for what my parents have taught me, what I've seen, you know, what I read from before Castro. You know.
Jesus. During Batista's time.
During Batista and many different times, many other presidents.
Keep in mind, too, that Raul is also somebody who spent a few weeks at Mariel on a boat in Cuba trying to bring the rest of his family. And the taste that he has in his mouth now is considerably different than that he probably had 18 months ago.
I didn't know that. So you went over and
were
trying
to...
What happened?
I spent like 20 days in Cuba waiting for my family.
Right in the middle of our recording our record, too.
And it just was incredible.
Did they come?
I only went to get my sister and her sons, her husband. I got them all. But I had to do a lot of... See, money talks in Cuba. It's everywhere. But in Cuba, it's incredible what they have done to the island, you know. It's like, I went there and they take me to a hotel or something. We were on the way to the hotel. You see so many construction going on that had never been finished because they don't have the material to it. And the streets, we're talking about Havana, which is the capital of the city. The houses are falling apart. No, they don't have any cars there. I mean, they use 1950s cars, and the only one who has cars there are the Japanese, which is a lot of Japanese people in there, and the Russians.
Mm-hmm. The Russians. What are all the Japanese doing there?
I don't know. I stayed at a hotel, and every equipment that I saw there was Sanyo.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of Sanyo equipment there.
Now, you mean Japanese people or you mean Japanese technology?
It's a lot of Japanese technology.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant
Japanese
a lot of...
people.
Oh, okay.
It's Japanese technology.
I see.
Because I think Cuba let them fish over their waters.
Yeah.
They do some kind of trades.
Yeah.
When we were coming over, we saw like a fleet of 2-3 boats, fishing boats, Japanese boats over there.
But the island has pretty much been... changed since you've left.
It's changed. No, it's the same.
It just stopped.
No progress.
It just stopped.
No progress going in the island. And the people, I mean, God, if I were this parents in Cuba and I go to Cuba right now, is what is that? I mean, they'll go crazy for a pair of pants. I mean, jeans, like Jordache or Chardon, whatever the names, all these brand new names they have. In Cuba, they'll go crazy over these jeans because they don't have nothing to wear. What they have is almost as weird. The clothes are... They've never seen the jeans designs or a nice shirt. Even the t-shirt Keith has on. They will pay you $50, $70 for that t-shirt. Because there's nothing going on like this. Like in Cuba, Castro at opening a flight, you know, like commercial flights between Cuba and the United States. And at the beginning, people used to take a lot of clothes to their families. And it was amazing. And then, see how bad the progress is there, that some of the clothes that they took over, some of the family have to resell it, you know, or exchange it for food or something.
Mm-hmm.
In the black market.
Was your sister really happy to
get
out?
Happy to get here.
Had she been trying to get out in the past?
Yeah, ever since we got out of Cuba. She couldn't come out with us, you know, like 1970, and then she'd been trying to get out of Cuba.
Hmm.
But they wouldn't
let her.
They give a different story every day.
Yeah, it's
difficult. It was a nice experience, though. Spent like 48 hours in the high seas, and the boat almost just sunk. It was, I tell you, I don't think I ever go back to Cuba. But I'll never go back to Georgia. I'll never go back there either.
Yeah. Really? Well, do you think that maybe Miami is more like Cuba was than Cuba is now? I mean, do you think that Miami is kind of the new homeland?
Depends on what point of view you're looking at it. Because Cuba used to have like what they call it, Malecón. They have one of the biggest hotels there. I mean, in 3 years they built like three of the biggest hotels there, like that. And not Scala. Because they said, were you getting the money to be able to come here?
Mm.
See, over there is Big Brother is watching you, everything you do.
Something totally different.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to keep you any longer. We pretty much talked you out,
yeah.
I'm sure. But that's really good interview. Really interesting, and you really were able to. It's great that you studied music because you were able to articulate very well, and Raul was able to articulate the other, the what was really typical in Cuba, and everything was terrific. Let me see. I need some information for the sheets.
We have little sheets here, and one of the things we need to know is your birth date.